Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hall, delighted to be joined by Dan Clubb and Lewis Aspinall. It is the match preview show. It is Liverpool's trip to Aston Villa on Monday night. Yes, I understand the apathy towards it at times, but still Liverpool are playing a game of footy. There's only two of these left under Jurgen Klopp. This is the last away game that Jurgen Klopp will ever manage Liverpool in. So yes, although the result might not be too important for the Reds, it's massive for Aston Villa. It's still a huge game to celebrate Jurgen in a place that he's had some happy memories in the past. And Dan, again, I've been saying this on quite a few preview shows, like, we wish this was bigger for Liverpool. Yeah. We wish this was Liverpool trying to keep in a title race, stay in a title race, pull clear in a title race. That isn't the case. And it's a tough game. Villa away is, you know, Arsenal lost there, Manchester City lost there, they're both of Wolves in the league. Villa's, they've had a little bit of an iffy time recently, but their home record is what's got them on the brink of Champions League footy. So it's they've got the added incentive. If they win, they're in. They've qualified for the Champions League, which is huge for that football club. So it's going to be tasty on Monday, and Liverpool need to be aware. Like, although it's almost a dead rubber for the Reds, I don't know if that's the right terminology. It's one of the biggest games in Aston Villa's history. It's huge for them.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Yeah, and how much it means to Liverpool, will know exactly how much it could or couldn't mean to the Reds by the time that game comes around. Obviously, with Arsenal and Man City playing before us, the likelihood is that it won't mean very much. I think we're all kind of in that zone now. We're all very much expecting that. And you're right. The challenge will be that Villa will be bang up for it. It's their final home game of the season, of course, and sort of what it could mean thereafter is absolutely massive. To get back into the Champions League after many, many years out is huge, especially on the back of a bit disappointment last night in Europe for them, going out in the fashion that they did and in the manner they wouldn't have expected that at all. So yeah, Liverpool are going to know, and they're walking into a bit of a lion's den. I think Villa Park, by and large, is a very difficult place to go, whatever shape Aston Villa are in, but this season in particular, obviously, Liverpool have actually won the few sides to make Aston Villa not look like the Aston Villa side that they are this season. I'd say even the game at Anfield wasn't really a true reflection on Aston Villa. They weren't very good. We were very good that day, it should be said, but yeah, they weren't at it by any stretch of the imagination. So yeah, it's going to be tricky, and it's one of them games whereby, had it have had all the meaning, all the ramifications on that we hope it did have, of course, you were sort of earmarking this and circling this game in the running. It's like, oh, that's tricky. Villa Park away on a Monday night, you know, possibly needing to win the game to stay in the title race. So obviously it's unfortunate that isn't the case, but yeah, it doesn't mean this game's going to be any more straightforward. I expect it to be very, very hard, and a lot of it will depend on just how much Liverpool want it. I imagine that's still quite a lot, because they're professional footballers. They're going to want to sort of break the 80 point barrier again and stuff like that, but how much does that really mean psychologically? You'd imagine not a lot.
I suppose as well for Villa, Lou, they've drawn and lost their last two Premier League games, and in the process have been knocked out of Europe as well. So form has probably started to desert them a little bit. They're tricky games, don't get me wrong. Olympiacos, home and away in a European semi, is never going to be easy. They drew at home with Chelsea in the middle of that. They drew with Chelsea before that. They lost at Brighton in the middle of those two games. So not the easiest of games, not the easiest of runs for Aston Villa, but the injury list's mounting up, the games have mounted up for them. They're probably glad actually of it being Monday night for a whole lot of reasons. A, they get the extra rest from playing Thursday to Monday, but also it's Villa Park under lights on Monday. There's a chance, or they might have even, you know, a draw might be good enough for them, depending on how Tottenham get on at the weekend as well. So I reckon if you're Aston Villa, you're probably licking your lips at this one. If you're a Villa fan, Villa player, Villa manager, whatever, you're probably thinking, a team who are literally pretty much cemented into their place in the league, no matter what happens, and we're at home and we're under the lights. You can see it being a big occasion for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think the timing of them playing us, they're probably looking at it as, well, let's be honest, not to put a negative spin, we're not going to win the league. I think that's everyone pretty much resigned to.
Are you saying that Aston Villa? Are you saying that Arsenal and Manchester City aren't going to lose 2 and 3 games?
I mean, they could do. But
I was Fulham in training this week, and they looked at it when they were flying back. So don't go counting them chickens.
I might be wrong, but like, just Villa.
I can't believe
now,
you have no faith in Everton.
I'm so sorry. God, I've seen so much of them this season to make me think otherwise. You know,
yeah, but, I guess those two were frigging the glass.
Yeah, they were. Oh, I'm not a Spanish team in the game.
But like Villa, it's probably just the best time for them to play us, because our season now is just, we want to try and make the last two games as memorable as we can for Klopp. Villa, like you said before, they've got it all to fight for, and under Emery, they seem to be in a situation where it doesn't really matter who's out injured, doesn't really matter who comes in or who goes out, because they've got so much depth in that squad. And like you said, Champions League football, chance to be back in the best competition in football. They're going to go at it all guns blazing. Emery's got a point to prove that he can still manage at the highest level. Villa, like you said, at home under the lights, they've got so much to go for. And as much as we need to have that same mentality, you know, could we see a bit of a dip off? Could we see a sort of, well, you know, what is there to do now? We obviously want to get the wins, of course we do. We want to beat Villa 100%, but are we going to be able to match Villa, who I think are going to be the more intense of the two teams because they've got it all to play for? Mm.
The injury thing is mounting up though for them. They got a couple back yesterday. Mm-hmm. Obviously when they lose there, but you know, long term injury wise, they've done so well together, by the way, because without Kamara, without Wendy, and without Mings for a long time, they all pretty much had season ending injuries around like February time. They had Jacob Ramsey out. He's not going to be available, I don't think, for a while, and I think that's his season over as well. He's been good for them. Yeah. Tielemans, Zaniolo, Moreno have all been in and around it, maybe missing this one. Emi Martinez missed a couple, he's now back. Mm-hmm. To be fair to Villa, like they've tested the squad and they've managed to get themselves to a point where it's great. But I think also we can see in the last couple of weeks that it is starting to have an impact on them, especially the quick turnarounds, them games. And you know, Chelsea and Brighton are like mid-table Premier League teams, but I'm supposed like in between Aston Villa playing Olympiacos a couple of times, you have seen it. The wheels haven't come off, but it certainly had an impact on them because they haven't been as clinical as they have been perhaps in weeks before.
No, I think the wheels come off maybe ever so slightly a stretch, but I mean ever so slightly, because look at the results. Like, they're not sort of in keeping what they've done all season long, are they? They've punched well above that particular weight. So yeah, I think it's a very fair assessment to make, and that's always going to be the question mark. And if anything, it's been kind of sped up a little bit, because often you look at a sort of a side that do something like Aston Villa on the cusp of doing. Newcastle did it last year. You go, okay, you've got top four now, but what does your whole squad look like? Have you got the squad depth to cope? And Aston Villa have had a little early glimpse at it and gone, maybe we haven't. So therefore, if they are going to be back amongst Europe's elite next year, they can go out in the summer and strengthen in certain areas and get the squad better, because it has been stretched thin of late, no two ways about it. But they've done absolutely incredibly to be where they are, and they've given themselves enough of a buffer and enough of a cushion, helped by Tottenham's wheels very much falling off in recent weeks. That gives them a position of strength now that they probably will still end up getting top four in spite of what has been a little wobble as the finishing lines come in sight. And it's been a bit different for me, because oftentimes down the years, you remember Leicester for like two or three seasons consecutively were in the top four right until the end, until they weren't. Mm. They literally kind of threw it away. There was no real reasoning behind that. But Aston Villa, if they had been guilty of that, you'd have gone, well, look at the injuries they've had. You mentioned some of that. Martinez is a huge miss for them. Absolutely massive. But they haven't done that, and you've got to give them massive credit. And Emery's an absolutely one of the best manager in the game for me. I think he's exceptional. He really is. So yeah, credit to them for that. But they've got some key players, notwithstanding the ones you've mentioned there. Ollie Watkins has had some season, hasn't he? Douglas Luiz likewise. So they're a proper squad. And I think, like I say, this little injury problems they've had to the back end of the season could actually stand them in better stead, because they're going to know what they need to do for next year.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You know. Absolutely, I suppose. Well, like you mentioned, to be fair, they had the wobble, Lou, but so Spurs, and Spurs, you know, losing four Premier League games in a row. Tottenham, it was actually Tottenham's at one point. When they beat Arsenal away, it was like, wow, Villa there. But then they have a little stumble, but the Tottenham chance was there for them. Yeah. As it stands, Spurs are 7 points behind them with a game in hand. If Tottenham could have just won one or two of those games, or you know, got something out of them, it'd have been a different story. As it stands, Villa known a win guarantees them Champions League. And again, Spurs play Burnley at the moment. I wouldn't bank on Spurs doing absolutely anything. So my hope is that actually Spurs lose against Burnley, and then almost like it's a dead rubber for both teams. And Aston Villa's players are on the piss at the weekend. like when we turned up to Man City, having already won the league, and Andy Robbo was still hungover. I'm half hoping that Villa's players have a good weekend, because Tottenham do get themselves some points against their... Because they lose some points at home against Burnley tomorrow, which again, I wouldn't put it past them. Dan's mentioned a couple of players there from Villa who we probably should speak about. For a team who are conceding chances and goals like Liverpool tend to do, Ollie Watkins is one of the most informed strikers in the country. You know, he's going to be in the Euro squad, no doubt about it. He's in the Champions League no matter what next season, because he's either playing for Aston Villa or someone's buying him from the Champions League. He's of that level now. What Villa have always got, regardless, again, the injuries withstanding at the moment, any front, like for yesterday, front three of Watkins, Diaby, Bailey, like there's goals, there's pace, there's aggression, there's power. That's a trio, really, that can cause a team like Liverpool problems. If we're not at our best, then it's fair to say, Even Tottenham, for like 15 minutes at the end there, it was a bit of a wobble for the Reds. Like, there's goals in that Villa team against the Liverpool side who have been prone to concede chances and goals.
Yeah, especially if we do concede first, which seems to be a pattern. I mean, at Villa Park, we've heard what the atmosphere was like. We saw it when they beat City and when they played Arsenal. And that place, when they get behind the team, it's unbelievable. So if we go there and just try and sort of shut up shop and concede first, we're going to be right up against it. But like you said, they've got a really good squad. And then not to mention, you've got John McGinn there, who's been fantastic this season. Douglas Luiz has been superb as well. Like, there's so many attacking options that they've got. And that front three it's the players who you wouldn't have expected to be at the level that they've reached. Ollie Watkins has been unbelievable this season. I'd say, like, best striker in the league by maybe even better than Isak, I think he's been this season. And then what you've got, Diaby, you've got Bailey. Like, there's so many talented players who, if the lads aren't at it, with a quick turn of pace on them, they're going to get in behind and cause all sorts of problems, because that's been our big issue, is leaving so much space in behind and not being able to keep up pace with them. And Ollie Watkins is rapid, Diaby's rapid. Like, it's not going to be easy. And I think Villa's one of those games that a few years ago you would have looked at and went, oh, you know, we can get a result there, they're nothing too special. Now under Emery, they've become such a powerhouse, especially against the big teams. Like I said, they beat Arsenal, they beat City, you know, they beat us in recent seasons as well. They could easily make that ground a Lions then and not give us anything at theirs.
Absolutely. I suppose, Dan, what's happened a little bit to Villa, because as good as they have been attacking, actually they've been quite defensively solid for most of the season. If you look at the Premier League table, they you know, not compared to the big three, because the big three, obviously, in terms of City, Liverpool and Arsenal, concede less than 40 goals, but like Villa are next on 53 goals conceded, which is actually, it's fewer than Spurs, Newcastle, Chelsea, Man United, West Ham, everyone below them. They're like the best of the rest in terms of defensive record, apart from Sean Dyche's Everton. It's worth mentioning whose defensive record has been excellent for the most part. However, it's one clean sheet in 10 for Aston Villa, albeit it was a very good clean sheet at the Emirates. Like, fair play to them. Like, it's not the worst place to go and keep a clean sheet. So on the other hand, as well as Liverpool have been conceding goals, conceding chances, so have Aston Villa. And the Reds, whoever plays up front, and we'll talk about it in a moment, there's opportunities there. They give you some as well. They've got the goalie back, but there's still goals to be had. It's not like they're not as resolute as some of the other teams that you might come up with, for example.
No, they're not.
In recent weeks, I should say.
No, well, they're not even as resolute as what I would sort of associate an Unai Emery side with, nope, by and large as well. I think normally he has his sides more defensively solid, and maybe it's just what he has at his disposal. He's looked at the situation and gone, you know, I've got an Ollie Watkins there. You mentioned the two wingers. I agree with him. They're both brilliant. You know, Douglas Luiz has been in the goals. John McGinn chips in as well. I think Ramsey, albeit not available this weekend, is a very good, very exciting prospect. So Unai Emery might have just assessed the situation and gone, yeah, we need to be more front foot, we need to be more forward thinking, let's go with that. And obviously had defensive injuries as well on the way, so he might have looked at that and gone, that could well be my Achilles heel. If I look to just be solid and then counter, that's not going to wash. So whatever he's done, it's most definitely worked, and you've got to give him huge praise for that. So yeah, I think Villa will look to come and take the game to us, because ultimately, you know, there's a blueprint there for doing that against Liverpool as well this season. Like, we haven't exactly been defensively solid. It was funny, Klopp's comment at the back end of the game last week against Spurs, when he was asked towards the end, so that 15 minutes towards the end, it looked like he got a little bit nervy, started conceding goals, started conceding chances, you know, what you put that down to, how do you fix it? And he basically just said, it's not my problem anymore, somebody else can deal with that, the next manager can deal with that. So I don't think he's going to be coming into this game, certainly with the pressure off and the freedom now we have. That we're going to finish third, let's be honest.
Will it be fearless a bit more?
I think it'd be fearless, yeah. I think there'll be a freedom to it. I think there'll be a kind of case of arse of our, what will be, might be a little bit extreme, but there is going to be like, go out there and express yourselves, yeah, enjoy yourself. I'm going to name the most attack-minded, the most forward-thinking side, and he's going to be picking on form more than ever. I listened to his press conference prior to coming into this show. He basically said, if I've got one regret from this season, though, and a sort of trample over the starting 11, it's not starting Harvey Moore. So yeah, you wonder whether now he's just looking at Harvey Elliott going, you're just playing boss, you're just going to play.
Whereas
exactly, in the past, he's probably been guarded about that. He's probably been thinking, well, I can't pick you because you're inexperienced, you're not quite big enough, etc. So yeah, he's made that change.
He did the same with Kwanzaa as well. He's been the best in training. That's why he's been getting picked. So he has been doing that. Let's talk about it then in terms of team selection. We might as well move on to Lewis. I'll start with you. He did say he just gets things from training. Whoever's training, I pick the best team. That's why Gerald Kwanzaa has been playing. That's why XYZ's been playing. It does feel like, I wouldn't be shocked if he named a very similar starting 11 than what he named against Tottenham, because for an hour that team was great. It was when all the subs came on that it fell a little bit to shit. So if I go through the team that played against Tottenham, just to remind everyone, jog everyone's memory, Liverpool's starting 11 that day: Alisson, Trent, Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Robbo, Elliott, Endo, McAllister, Salah, Gakpo, Diaz. How many of those do you think start again? I'll be honest, I think it might be 11.
Yeah, 10 or 11. The only one that I could maybe see change is maybe Gakpo comes out, maybe gives Nunez one more sort of guy. I know, but
why was he doing this? Poor Cody, he scored, gets an assist. I understand the love for Darwin a bit, and everyone's desperate for him to do well, but it's harsh on Cody Gakpo. He's like, I'm playing if you're picking players on form, then he can't make
he should be starting, but yeah, he might look at this as the sort of, you know, he needs to. He's been getting a lot of criticism recently. Obviously, there's been all the talk of all the Instagram stuff, or like all this drama and that. He might look at it as, look, just give him one more go, give him one more chance in the starting lineup, especially against this Villa team, where, like you said, they might have to commit men forward, they might have to go for it and try and get the lead by plenty of goals. Maybe this is the game for him. But I think Gakpo should start. That's just the only one there. I think there might be a change if any of the starting 11 is to go different.
I was thinking there might be a world where he plays Konate down, but he specifically said Kwanzaa's training better. He was asked a question about it, to be fair. It wasn't like he just brought Kwanzaa up, but he said he actually played well against Tottenham.
Yeah.
So if he is doing this, I'm picking players in form thing, that team was in form. That team was great. When the subs got made, it wasn't great. But I can't see a reason anywhere. I mean, Szoboszlai might not fancy it, might not like it. Curtis Jones might not like it. Konate might not like it, etc. But unless he's looking after people with the Euros in mind, which I don't think he's going to be doing, given the fact that there was no update about Jota, so you're presuming that he's not available at this point. And again, why rush him?
Yeah.
Like, let him get fit. Let him, if he's going to go to the Euros, let him just get fit. There's no real rush to get him back now. I'm looking at the bench from the Spurs game. Gomez would be deserving a place. I think that's fair to say. If he wants to get a start under Stefan Bacetic, that's an option too. Or he wants to play Conor Bradley, but I don't know if you want to leave Trent out. There's no one knocking the door down for me, really, to say, I definitely need to be in that 11.
No, I wouldn't have said so either. I definitely think we'll see more of Stefan Bajcetic, was very much a cameo off the
scored
bench.
Scored there once.
He scored a lovely goal at Villa Park, yeah, in the green kit, I think I remember. Lovely goal, yeah. I definitely think we'll see more of him in this game. I don't necessarily think from the start. He's not ready for 90 minutes of Premier League football.
I'm not sure he looked ready for 50.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And I can sit here and say he's not been ready for Academy 90 minutes of late, to be honest with you. He hasn't looked at it. And
nor should he be.
Exactly. That's not to do with him with a disservice whatsoever. But he needs just to be out there playing football. And the fact he's doing that is boss, basically. And then we'll see a pre-season and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I agree with you, mate. I think I'd be going with the same start 11 because it's justified. They're the lads that are in form right now. I get the Darwin Núñez thing. I think he would be making a decision on Darwin Núñez, which isn't related to pitch matters. He would be doing that because he's heard the speculation. He's been asked directly about the speculation. And he probably knows there's a lot of unrest around Darwin. Mm. So if he was to give him the nod, it would almost have to, with one conversation, go, Darwin, I'm going to give you the chance, you're going to start this game. And then the very next conversation, go, Cody Gakpo, you probably deserve to start, mate, but I'm just doing Darwin a favour, which doesn't feel like something he's going to do, but that's kind of how it would work. Because Cody Gakpo has been brilliant, like not just in the very recent history, in the very recent games, he's just been brilliant for the last month or so for me. I think his intelligence, the way he finds the half spaces all the time, he gets to play and he's very direct when he gets hold of the ball, obviously goal and assist last week against Spurs. So there's no two ways about it. If you felt at any point like Cody Gakpo needs a confidence boost during this entire season, you have to keep playing him now. Because if all of a sudden, if you do drop him and you knock his confidence ever so slightly, you've got yourself a problem on your hands. So I've been aiming that same team.
Yeah, I think they finally found a way to get Gakpo into the team and find a way that works for him. Because I think he started off quite well and then he dipped massively. Yeah. And there was a lot of conversation around he's like the fifth choice and blah, blah, blah. But now it seems they found a system where he fits in well and they're getting the best out of him, which it was never that he wasn't good enough for the team. It was just they didn't know how to work around his abilities.
They almost tried too many ways to get him into the team. It felt like at one point, I think I sat on one of our shows about him and just said that Jurgen Klopp clearly just wants to get Cody Gakpo into the side however he can.
But that was almost
causing its own issues because he was picking a midfield at one point. It's like he's not a midfielder, but he was so desperate to get him in there because of the height, his intelligence, as I mentioned, it was almost discrediting him and it wasn't getting the best out of him at all.
Absolutely. I think I agree. I don't think it's that big a discussion. I think it has to be the same 11. There's no reason for it not to be. And then all those lads off the bench have got to prove themselves, because the week after will be his final game. I think everyone will be desperate to start that one. By the way, Jürgen, don't get booked, please. He mentioned them, he's going to keep my mouth shut, and it's hard for him as well, like to do that. But no matter, and especially with Simon Hooper as the ref, honestly, it's almost like they've red ragged them to, you know what I mean? On a book, and I, Jürgen, Simon Hooper. Yeah. I think if I'd be paying John Achterberg or Pep Landers just a gag Jürgen Klopp over.
John will do it. John's got no qualms about doing that. He'll get the booking for him.
He'll take Jürgen's booking for him.
He'll
call Simon Hooper a couple of things. I'm sure he'd be more than willing to do it. With all that being said then, guys, talk about Liverpool, talk about Villa. How's it going? Do you think they're going to win, draw, lose? How are you seeing it happening? Be honest, do you think they're going to lose?
No, I
think they're going to lose. if I'm honest, I do, because I think it's massive for Villa, but we'll see.
And honestly, I think a draw, because like I said before, I don't think it's we're going to go all gung-ho. You know, we might do, we absolutely might do. I think you're right with what you said before, that he might play a bit more fearless and a bit more attack-minded. But if we go there and get the 7-2 from a few seasons ago, or we get like a 3-0 or something daft like that, it just puts a dampener going into the last game. Yeah. So a 2-2 draw.
I think you've swayed me. I was half thinking we were going to lose, but I think we're probably going to draw little 2-2.
I'm thinking 2-2. Literally, it's like everything. And I've often had a thing with Monday Night Football, often feels like it's 2-2. I want to stick to that. And again, I come back to the point, I think there will be goals, and I think both teams have got goals in their side, you know, of late. It hasn't necessarily always looked like Liverpool have got that, I'd say. But I think if you pick that team and just mention team in form, Joel Quanta, Virgil van Dijk at the back, I think both teams will have a lot of chances, both teams will create a lot of stuff, and I just see it being quite an open, fun game, to be honest with you. It's quite enjoyable to watch. So yeah, 2-2 for me.
It might be the first Red in TV history where no one says the Reds predict the win.
I think it's got to be.
I can't imagine that's ever happened before.
I think I've always predicted us to win, so I'm probably right. Yeah.
Is it just because it's like, oh well, you know,
fuck it, 4-0. I'm going to change it.
Yeah. There's nothing riding on it, is there?
All the Redmen history buffs were getting excited there. Oh, it's a fit. No, I'm changing my mind. Liverpool are going to win 4-0. So you're wrong, so I can't be ruining that for you as well. Dan, thanks very much. Lou, thanks very much. Well, thanks to Joe for producing. Thanks for all you guys for watching or listening to this episode of the match preview. Watch along will be on Monday with loads of added content. If you need more Red Men goodness in your lives over the weekend when Liverpool aren't playing and you can't bear to watch all of the other stuff, because I'm in the same boat, I'm not watching any other footy at the moment, then redmenplus.com is the place to go. And if you sign up as a yearly captain using the promo code SLOT, our new soon-to-be manager, we think at some point anyway, there's loads of content on there. So if you want to learn about Arne Slot before you have to go back to emotional wreck of losing Jurgen Klopp, this is the weekend to do it. Expert insights. Dan spoken to numerous people, as mates, as players, as who have you spoke to?
Yeah, journalists in the round, in Feyenoord fans, as you say, former teammates of his, players who've played under him, former colleagues used to work with him, Azar Alkmaar and stuff like that. Yeah, honestly, we have bases covered.
Absolutely. Redmenplus.com, go and learn all about him. And if you sign up, of course, you will get all of our content around Jurgen Klopp leaving, which is obviously some special things lined up. More on that next week. Thanks again for watching or listening, and we'll see you all next time. See you in a bit.